Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
God is good once again.
Amen.
Brother Carter, you always say that. Well, He's always good. And one thing that we ought to be eternally grateful for is that if nothing else, you got up this morning. You know, you could have been still in your bed sleeping this morning, but you chose to come out and to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And God has granted you that opportunity, and it is such a wonderful privilege that we are here this morning. We didn't have to be here. This morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O precious Father, which art in heaven, it is because of your goodness that we are able to sit here, stand here, and come before the footstool of thy mighty throne as we bring out a prayer in on your behalf, O Lord, and on our behalf and on each and every other member's behalf. We are praying for everybody, O Lord. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that these services that have been rendered thus far and that we shall render from this point on shall be found favorable in thy sight. We pray this morning, Father, for the church, especially this local congregation. We pray for the leaders in this congregation, and we pray for their families. We pray for those who have taken part in the services, as well as their families, and for those who shall come from this point on, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, because you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son into this world to hang, bleed, and die from yonder's cross, that we might have this privilege and this opportunity to have eternal life. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we can stand up and call out thy name this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that when we kneel in our bowing position, O Lord, and that we are able to call out thy name. We thank you this morning, Father, that you give us this pleasure and this privilege and this honor to call thy name at any time of the night or the daytime. We thank you, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we're praying for those who may be sick this morning, those who are in their hospital beds, those who are in their own beds in their homes. We're just praying. And those even, Father, who are up and about but just not feeling well, we're praying for all, especially those in the household of faith. Father, we live in a troubled world and in troubled times, and we need you, Lord. We need you because man cannot solve the issues that are before us. And we know that you are able to see the issues, O Lord, and that you are able to help us to get through these issues. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we thank you once again, O Lord, for each and every member that decided to show up this morning. We thank you that you blessed them enough that they could come out. We thank you now, O Heavenly Father, for those who are without, those who may be in need, and as well as those who may be grieving, O Lord. We're just praying that you grant unto them what they need to sustain them in this life. Father, we pray for those who may be traveling today, whether it be by bus, plane, or car, or even walking, O Lord. We just pray that you be with them and give them safe passage to and from. We pray this morning, Father, that there may be some who are still on their way. We pray that they might have safe passage to reach the church door and come inside the auditorium, that they may serve thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this morning for each and every member here this morning, and we're also praying for those who have not had that opportunity yet to become a member of the Lord's body. We're just praying that they may have a space and time that they may come into the light, O Lord. Then, my Heavenly Father, we're praying and asking you to be with each and every member here this morning, that their lives may be blessed because they have attended the services of you, and that they have blessed you, or asked you to bless them, and that you have blessed them, O Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Then, Father, when we have done all that we can do, when we have prayed our last prayer, when we have sang our last hymn, we just pray, O Lord, to have a home with thee in thy kingdom. These and all other blessings we do ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. Of the book of Romans, and it started with the first verse, and it went through verse number 6. We shall touch on the scriptures as we go along. This morning, we want to talk about the newness of life, the newness of life. Far too many people don't understand that as a Christian, we must continue to love Christ even after baptism. That is, assuming that we love Him before baptism. Many think that after I have been baptized, I no longer need to do anything more, including showing up for service, including loving the Lord. I can stop now because I've become a member of the body, so I don't need to love the Lord anymore. In fact, we need to display our love even more for the Lord. Baptism is the final step in cementing our love for Christ. Christianity must be shared with Christ. And what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that Christ has already done something for us, and He continues to do things for us. But we must do something with and for Him in order that we might fulfill the word of the Lord. Our lives after baptism should cause us to walk in the newness of life. So what does that mean? Well, what does it mean to walk in the newness of life? Let us explore the Bible for some answers, if you will. After I become a Christian, after I've been baptized, my lifestyle should become new. When one becomes a baptized Christian, a newness of heart should become evident. In our walk, it should be evident in our walk and in our talk. The text states, look at verse number 4, if you will. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That is, we are learning to walk by the Word of God. That is, we learn to walk by the rules of what we once were against. And obviously you were against the rules because you were not a Christian. So somebody might ask the question, well, what is God's Word? Well, God's Word is the Bible. God's Word is truth, and God's Word can bring us eternal life if we just obey God's Word. As a baptized Christian, our goal should be to be changed from what we used to be and become concerned not only about tomorrow, but be concerned about my eternity for hereafter. The best way to describe what we should be about can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verses number 17. And you all know what that is. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Our conversation should be that of heaven as our goal. In Philippians chapter 3 in the verses 20, the Bible says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord, our Savior. See, we can't find the Savior walking around in the mall. We can't find the Savior coming out of a doorway and just finding Him there waiting for us. We've got to seek out the Lord, and if you seek the Lord, you shall find Him. The way some of us once talked, and let me rephrase that, the way some of us still talk, is not the kind of conversation that is heaven-focused. The rules that a Christian must observe are focused or geared toward a just Savior of whom one day we shall meet, and we ought to be praying that we meet Him in peace, and that we meet Him to get us to the glory land. Notice, if you will, verse number 11 of Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a privilege and what an honor it is to be able to converse with the Lord. The words of that wonderful hymn that we sing all too often. We sing the song and we say, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. We are leaning on the everlasting arm. Safe and secure from all alarms. But do you really understand, church, what you're saying? You're saying that, God, you've got to have my back when I'm a Christian. Lord, I need somebody to have my back. And too many of us trust in our own ways. And the Bible teaches us that the ways of man are self-destructing. Isn't that right, church? If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you need to re-examine your priorities. Since your baptism, have you been walking in the newness of life? The newness of life tells me in verse number 4, once again, it says, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. We have to change our ways. We have to change our thinking. We have to change our habits. You know, and there's an old saying that says that old habits die hard. And some of us, we've been in the church for 20 or 25 years and we're still walking in that in those same old ways. We're still acting like we used to act when we were not in the Lord. We're still acting as though we are non-Christian. We use the title, the word from time to time, but we don't act the part. But I tell you something, church. Once you have been baptized and you become a Christian according to the text, you should be even so. We also should walk in the newness of life. And look at verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Church, we've got the Lord on our side once we have become baptized Christians. It's just a matter of if you stay there, stay with Him or not. Then not only should our lifestyle change, but our lifestyle become new, but our love should also become new. And I know a little bit about this love thing. I know that we talk about love from time to time, but many of us don't understand what it really means. When you say, I love you, my brother, or I love you, my sister, that's not the same as telling your sweetheart that you love them. That's a different kind of love. The very first verse of our text sets the tone or sets the way for us to see. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That's the question. That grace may abound. That's another part of the question. For we are baptized Christian. And so when we ask that question, I want you to also watch verse number 2 and verse number 3. God forbid, that's the answer to the question. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can you call yourself a Christian and still live in sin? But look at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? And let me ask you a question. Had Jesus committed any sin when He was hung, when He was nailed to His cross? The answer is no. So we have to be like Jesus. We have to live like Jesus. We are baptized into Christ, so that means we are to love the Lord. Do you remember what the psalmist declared in his love toward the Lord in Psalms number 116, around verse number 1? He said, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. But then he continues by telling us in verse number 2 that he will call upon the Lord as long as he lives. Can you say that you're going to call upon the Lord as long as you live? Then in verse number 3, he says, death and hell was upon him. He was caught up in trouble and sorrow. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have been caught up in troubles and sorrow? I know that many of you have. I have. And when you're caught up, sometimes you don't know which way to turn or which way to go. When you're caught up, sometimes you can't figure out the back end from the front end. You can't figure out the top from the bottom. That's when you ought to be able to go to the Lord in prayer. Walk in the newness of life. But he did not. I like the psalmist, what he did in chapter 116 there. He did not stop calling upon the Lord like some of us do. We should never even entertain the thought of forgetting of our love for God. Why should we never forget the love of God? Because He first loved us, according to 1 John. He first loved us. And some of us, it's hard to love some of us. Even though we're supposed to, it's very difficult because some of us have some bad ways about ourselves. Some of us have some bad habits that we don't know how to rid ourselves of. Some of us have some bad talk in our minds that we just have to get out. And we don't understand that if you love the Lord, that's not the way you act. That's not the way you talk. And that's not the way you walk. All of us know that when someone is against you, it's not easy to love them. Even though we walk contrary to the will of God, He did not stop loving us. So therefore, we can't stop loving one another. And I know what some might be saying this morning. Preacher, I would love such and such person, but I just don't like them. Well, you don't have to like them. The Bible says you have to love them. And I don't like your ways necessarily, but I have to love you. That's what I'm told to do. And as a Christian, as a baptized Christian, that's what it means for me to keep on loving you. Consider, if you will, the Bible as a very lengthy love letter, if you will. A love letter from our Father, from our Father God, who delivered it through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, sealed at Calvary's cross and to be completed at judgment. Not only are we to love the Lord, but we are to love our fellow brothers and sisters. And we must love the church as well. Why? Because Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, according to Ephesians chapter 5. God loved the church as much as many of us hate the church. God loved the church. Some Christians say that they love the church. They love their brothers and sisters. They say they love Christ, but they don't come to church. They don't come to church except every now and then. That's what's known as a part-time love. And God doesn't like part-time love. God is a jealous God, and He wants us to love Him with all of our heart and our soul, as was stated in the Bible class this morning, according to Matthew chapter 22. He wants all of our heart. He wants all of our soul and all of our mind. And I may as well let you know that he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So if you don't love your brother, you got some problems on your hands. Not only must we learn to love and continue to love, but if Christ loved us the way we were, how come we can't love one another the way we are? The question becomes, are you walking in the newness of life? Are you walking in the newness of life? Look at verse number 6 of the text, Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, this is the part I want you to notice, church, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I like the way that's worded in the Bible, because some of us were serving sin, and some of us were in the service of sin, and some of us still may be. Some of us was just serving sin like it was a thing to do because we didn't know any better. Some of us didn't know how to love the Lord. Some of us thought that loving the Lord meant that every so often, like Easter and Mother's Day, I'll go to church. Like Christmas, I might go to church. And if there's a funeral, I'll probably go to church. But coming to a funeral is not coming to church. You're coming to a funeral. You're sending somebody on their way. You are not in church to worship God in spirit and in truth at a funeral. You have come to because you respect a family or a family member. But you don't know how to love. You don't understand what this word love means. You love your children. You love your spouse. You may even love some friends of yours, but you must love me and you must love the Lord. There's no getting around it. And then the question becomes once again, are you walking in the newness of life? If you're walking in the newness of life, your lifestyle will change. Your love should become new. Your lifestyle should become new, but also your loyalty should become new. When our love becomes new, we should also develop new loyalties. When we love something or someone, we usually feel that person as a part like us or someone that we like because we share something in common. We usually put that person, place, or thing at the forefront of our lives. No matter what it is, whether it's a person, a place, or a thing. So it is also in serving the Lord. The perfect example may be found in the second chapter of Acts. Go with me over to the second chapter of Acts, if you will. Go with me to the second chapter of Acts. In the second chapter of Acts, around verse number 41 and verse number 42. Listen to what the Bible says. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. When you become, your loyalties become new, you'll stay in the Word. And when you stay in the Word, you'll learn to become as one. You'll learn that. Look at verse number 42 again. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul in verse number 43. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. But all that believed were together and had all things in common. That's what I needed to get to. When you become a new Christian, when you become a baptized Christian, you learn that we must have all things in common. The text is telling us that the Word of God brought 3,000 souls who obeyed the Word of God. They received the Word gladly, for the Word of God is the power unto salvation, unto all, unto salvation, according to Romans verse 1 and 6, chapter 1, verse 16. They did not simply hear the Word gladly, but they received it as well. Glad enough to be baptized. They believed with their hearts, confessed with their mouths, and became Christian believers in Christ. And after baptism, church, they continued steadfast in the doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. I like that part about in prayer. You've got to stay in prayer. You can't stop praying because you have now been baptized. If Brother Jackson puts you in this water today, you can't let this morning may have been your last prayer. But that's when you got to start praying the most, after you have become a member of the Lord's body. You see, Satan gets busy on you then. Oh, yeah, he gets super busy on you then. First of all, he got busy on you to keep you where you at, and then he got busy on you to keep you from coming up and making that confession that puts you in the water in the first place. But now you got to keep on going. It's good to be able to communicate with God through prayer, and that's the only way we can reach God. I know of no other way to reach God except through prayer. Unlike many today who quit working as soon as they become baptized. But these people in Acts chapter 2, they continued in prayer. They continued talking with one another. Oh, that's a revelation. We're supposed to talk. We ought to be talking to one another. We ought to be talking about things in common that we have. We ought to be talking about the church and the work of the church. We ought to be talking about the sick brethren and the sick sisters. We ought to be talking about how much we can do for them that have less than we. We ought to be talking about how we can help solve this problem or that problem, not about how good the ball game was yesterday. They continued talking with one another. That means they did not stop attending the services. Isn't that right? Oh, that means they kept going to church. They stayed together, and yes, they supported the church. I may as well throw this part in there. How do you know, preacher, that they supported the church? Well, I want you to watch verse number 44 and verse number 45. Look at verse 44, and he said, they that believed were together and had all things in common. But look at verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. You're supposed to help the needy. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be doing? Oh, yeah. When you love the Lord, you will give to Him. You give back a portion to Him of what He has blessed you with. You know, we are blessed if we got a few dollars. That's not because your job gave you a paper check or an electronic check that you cashed and put the money in your pocket. That's not why you got that. You have been blessed when you have some money, whether it's a little bit of money or a whole lot of money. God has blessed you with that, and you owe Him something back out of that He allowed you to make. Because do you realize that every Monday morning when you start your new work week, God could keep you in your sick bed, and keep you from going to work. And most jobs, unless you've been there a little while, you don't get paid if you're not there. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But then when you think about that, you must love the Lord and you need to give back to Him part of what you have. God has given us a lot. God has given us the sun to give us sunshine. He has given us the stars to twinkle in the night sky. He has given us rain to grow food and provide water for us. He has given us, most importantly of all, He has given us His Son, that whom He came down to this earth, went up on yonder's cross, hung there, bled from His side, caused the church to be brought into existence and saved us from where we were headed for. Isn't that right, church? Yet some of us still don't think we ought to give Him. So I'll ask you this question. How much is your life worth? How much is your life worth? What if, think about it in these terms. What if you were stranded on a dark and a lonely highway and I was coming down the highway late at night and I stopped by to offer help to you? You would be willing to pay me, but yet Jesus rescued us from a dark and a hell-bound life, gave us salvation. Now how much do we owe Him for that? I'll answer the question for you. We owe Him our souls, we owe Him our hearts, and we owe Him everything. And we ought to be willing to walk in the newness of life. After we become a Christian, we ought to be willing to walk in the newness of life. Since you were baptized, since you obeyed the gospel, have you been adrift, headed away from the Lord? If so, you need to come back. You need to make your mind up that, Lord, I've been off the cuff. I've been out of the way. I've dropped out of the race. I fell off the track. What can I do, Lord? I need You to help me get back on the track. Ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you that you may grow stronger. Prayer should always be in the heart of a Christian. And I'm almost done. Prayer should always be in the heart of a Christian. Pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for your friends and pray even for your enemies. Pray for the president. Pray for the Democrats. Pray for the Republicans. Pray for the other party, whoever the other party may be, whatever is popular at the time, that's the other party. But pray for them anyway because they're our leaders. You may not always agree with politics the way politics go, but you need to pray for them as human beings. You need to pray for them as God's children. You need to pray for them because we are told to pray one for another. Isn't that right, church? But then when you go back to the text in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to go through the whole thing now. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he answers the question, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ and were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm telling you one thing this morning, church. If you are a baptized Christian, you ought to love the Lord and you ought to continue to love the Lord. You ought to love your brothers and sisters and continue to love your brothers and sisters. And if you're not loyal to the church, you ought to become loyal to the church and to the Lord of heaven, our Savior and the Almighty God. How can I become more loyal to Him? Well, start doing what He said. Start doing His will. And I know what some folk like to say. I'm going to do it as soon as I can. That's a dangerous spot to put yourself in. It's dangerous because you don't know how much canning you got left. You don't know how much time that's left in your contract, do you, church? See, your contract can be called at any time. God can repossess what is His in the first place at any time He wants to. So if you're walking in the newness of life, you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. You have to ask yourself, am I doing everything that the Lord's will is for me to do? And number two, have I been faithful in serving Him? Have I been faithful to the church? Have I been loving my brothers and sisters? Or have I been just making my own way through life, trying to figure out which way I go with each step I take? That's a person that's lost, because you ought to know where you're going before you start out. If you don't know where you're going, you are going to get lost. If you don't know how to, you're supposed to plan your trip before you get started. And just as in life, just as with this Christian race, you ought to be planning to trying your best to get to heaven. I don't know of anybody who tries to go to hell, but guess what? They're on a door-opening journey to hell. But yet not too many plan for salvation. Not too many plan that I can get into heaven's door. That I can get into the... You know, in Revelation, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door and let me in, if open the door, I'll come in. But too many of us have a closed door and we put bars across the door. We don't want Him in our lives. We don't care to have Him in our lives because that means too many changes for me, preacher. That means I have to change my whole lifestyle. Well, that's what I just said. You need to change your lifestyle. That means I have to change my whole outlook on love. That's what I said. You need to change your life. Your love style should become new as well. That means I'll have to start becoming loyal to something I don't want to be loyal to right now. That's what I just said. But I'll tell you something. I don't know of anything, anyone, or anybody that can give us like the Lord gives us. Somebody wrote in the Bible, they said, will a man rob God? And they said, and then it said that if a man gives God like he ought to give God, then his cupboard would be running over. Isn't that what it said? I paraphrased, of course. But I'm telling you something. When you become a baptized Christian, everything about you ought to change. Oh, I'm not saying you're going to look any better than you looked before you got baptized. But I'm saying you ought to act better than before you got baptized. I'm saying your talk ought to be better than before you got baptized. I'm saying your ways ought to be better than before you got baptized. If you go down in the watery grave of baptism and you got a headache when you come up, you'll still probably have a headache. But your heart should become new. Your thinking should become new. Just as before you went down, you used to think one way. When you come up out of the water, you have to program your mind to think in another way now. You've got to think a different way now. So as a baptized Christian, after I become a baptized Christian, I ought to walk in the newness of life. How do I walk in the newness of life, preacher? Well, first of all, if you've been baptized, you've already taken the main step. You've already taken the steps. But for those who haven't taken the steps, you need to come to God by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But what if I did that 25 years ago? Well, how's your life today? Are you walking in the newness of life? If you're not, you need to come, go back to God, ask Him to start all over with me, Lord. Put me on the right path. And let me be a better Christian. Let me be a better person. And then come forward and ask the church. And you know, I found something over the years. Christian folk. Because I don't speak about folks who are not Christian. Christian folks are ashamed to ask the church to pray for them. Some of them. They don't like to come forward. They say, everybody will know my business then. That's not true. And some of them say, I would go down there, but I don't want everybody to see me walking down the aisle. Would ask somebody to come with you and walk you down the aisle so they'll see too, so they don't know what's going on there. I'll walk you down the aisle. Brother Jackson and Brother Burnside will come get you and walk you down the aisle, I believe. But all you need to do is come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger. And you know what a lot of folk do, a lot of Christian folk do? Now, I ain't saying this about nobody, so don't nobody take offense, but you'll run to another church and go over to the other church and stand up and ask that church to pray for you and then come back here next week like everything is all right. Now, you can tell me I'm wrong if you want to, but I don't think I am. But anyway, as we move on, I'll get that out of the way. As we move on, this is what you must do if you want to become a member of the body of Christ. You can be baptized this day. Is the water ready? Yes, it is. Is Brother Jackson ready? Yes, he is. He always says yes. One day he's going to tell me no, but yes, he is. Is the church ready? Yes, we are. We got towels. We got a drape to put around you. We got everything you need. All you need to do is open your heart and confess the Lord and come forward. And then walk in the newness of life as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
244. Time is filled with swift transition, not over unmoved.